To the Mishnah on Daf Samach Gimel and Aleph, in order to continue on Daf Samach Gimel and Beis, the end of the Mishnah reads Biris Tahora, and that is the strap that lifts up her stockings. They call it a garter, and Yotzimba B'Shabbos, and she's allowed to go out into Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, and there's not a danger that she might remove her garter to show it to a friend. She wouldn't want to expose her legs. And kvolim tmein, leg chains are makabel tuma, and ein yotzin bahem b'shabbos, we don't go out with them on Shabbos. So the Gemara now says the following, Biris Tahora, we're now on Daf Samach Gimel Amid Beis, and we are approximately 15 lines down from the top of the Amud. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Biris Zu Etz Ada, and this Biris refers to a tzamid, some sort of a bracelet, Sha'onda Isha Bizra, that she wears around her arm. And the Gemara asks, Masiv Rav Yosef, Biris Tahora V'yotzi Bo B'Shabbos, V'ilu Etz Ada, Tmeahi. How could it be that you identify a biris as an etzadah when a biris in our Mishnah is tahora and an etzadah is tmea? And it cannot be that they're one and the same. Now, in Milchemes Midjan, in Bamidbar Lamed Aleph, the soldiers in the Jewish army brought the shalol to Moshe Rabbeinu. And amongst the things that they brought to him, one of them is an etzadah. Another one is a tzamid. And these kind of tachshita, these jewels, are in requirement of tefillah, to be to tie them from tumasam, as it says in the pasuk, "Ogeb chalal tischato atem ushvichem." So we see clearly from this pasuk that Etzadah needs Tahora from Tumas Mes. And yet, if you identify Etzadah as a Biris, our Mishnah says that a Biris is Tahora. So the Gemara answers, Hachi Ka'amar. Let's reinterpret the statement of Rabbi Yehuda when he says that a Biris is an Etzadah. He didn't mean exactly that it's an Etzadah. Let's not take it too far, but rather Hachi Ka'amar. This is what he meant to say. Biris Tachas Etzadah Omedis, which literally means that the garter replaces the armband. He says Biris Omedis Beregel Ha'isha B'Makom Sha'omed Hatzamid Shebizra. Vahainu, Sha'isha Nedes Es Habiris Me'al Bate Shukeha, Kidelach Zikam Shalo Yiplu Viru Viro Shokeha. So far we've just summarized what we understood to be a biris. Ukmoshe Tzamid She'o Nedes O Samial Sharvuleha. So too there's a certain band that she wears to tie down her sleeves, kedesh lo yizgalu zroses, so that her arm shouldn't be exposed when she lifts her hand. So the reason why biris is not makabel tuma, as we saw in our Mishnah, is because a biris does not serve as a tachshit, not for a person, and not for klei tashmish, li odom atzmo, el shemeshameshes is batei ashukayim. In other words, it's like a kli that is mishamish a kli. And we have a principle, which is in the Mishnah in Kelim, that a kli that's mishamish kli is not makabel tuma. We had it a little bit earlier on Daf Nun Beis, if you remember, tabas odom tmeya, but tabas behema v'kelim tahora. So you have a ring around a utensil. So that ring, which is a kli that's mishamish kli, is not makabel tuma. And that's exactly what a biris is. It's a kli, shemeshamesh kli. Now let me just summarize this again. This new interpretation of Beerus that the Gemara is offering now as a band that's worn on the calf of the leg is a parallel to an armband. Now the armband beautifies. This garter, on the other hand, that's worn on the woman's stockings, that has no adornment. It's only got a quality of holding up a woman's stockings. And this explains why the beerus is not makabel tuma, because mimanafshach, it's not an ornament, or does it serve a woman directly? It serves her indirectly. It's a utensil that serves a utensil. In this case, it serves the stockings. So this is similar to a ring around the utensil that we spoke about earlier, and the ring is not susceptible to tumah because it's a kli ha-meshamesh kli. Now, why is she allowed to go out with a beerus into Rosh Hashanah Rabim? And the answer is because it's attached to her clothing, and then we're not afraid that she would take it or remove it to show it to a friend. So, Atam she yotzis po b'shabes u mipnesha tzorech levishahi, right, in order to make sure that her stockings are well attached to cover her legs, she wears this beerus. And therefore, Yeshla din malbush. It has the status of a malbush, and we're not afraid that she might take it off. Yosef Ravin, Rav Huna kami de Rav Yirmiya, v'Yosef Rav Yirmiya v'kam enamnem. So Yosef Ravin, together with Rav Huna, in front of Rav Yirmiya, and Rav Yirmiya, the Rebbe, is just falling asleep a little bit. So Yosef Ravin kam amar. So Ravin, together with Rav Huna, sitting in front of Rav Yirmiya, and Ravin starts by saying the following, Beerus and Kvalim that are mentioned in our Mishnah are really one and the same. Which means, it's a tzamid, some sort of a band or a bracelet that a woman wears on top of her calves, in order to make sure that the stockings don't fall. The only difference between them is that a beerus is a word that's used when she puts it be'achas, on one leg. Kvalim, in the plural, means she puts it on both legs. So this is the svara of Ravin, and we'll just give a quick summary of Ravin. Ravin is saying that a garter, a beerus, is a single band that's worn on one leg. Kvalim are a pair of bands that are worn on each leg. Amalei Rav Huna, and Rav Huna says back to Ravin that it can't be right. Elu ve'elu b'shtayim, both beerus and kvalim that are put on the two, are placed around the two legs. But when you take two birios, umatilin shalsheles beinehem, nasu kvalim. What's the difference between biris and kvalim, says Rav Huna? That when you take a chain and connect them together, they are called garters. So one puts a chain between them, and they become leg chains. If you wear them without a chain that connects them, those are called garters. Once you put on the chain, they're called kvalim, leg chains. And the Gemara goes on to say, well, shalshela shebo mashve le mona? Are you telling me that now, as a result of the fact that you tie together, you connect together with a chain, these two garters, therefore becomes a kli, and that's why it's makabel tumah in our Mishnah. He says, even when you have this chain that connects them together, that's not a kli that's mishamish adam, it's not a takshit. Again, we have a rule that a kli that's mishamish kli is not makabel tumah. So what changes That's the Gemara's kash on Rav Huna. What changes now as a result of adding this chain that connects the two garters? The Chi Taman, if you'll answer, that this chain now makes a noise when a woman walks, that's why it's Mekabel Tumo. Ki Rav Yishmuel Bar Nachmani, Yom Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Yom Rav Yochanan Minayin L'mashmiya Kol B'Klei Matachos Shu Tomei. We're going to derive from a certain pasuk, a certain yalfusa, that a metal utensil which makes noises, like a bell, which is around the neck of an animal, is makabel tumah. Now, usually we say that a kli is not makabel tumah unless it's a kli maisa, which means that it's designated for a malacha, or it's designated to serve as a takshit, but Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani is being mechadish that there's a third category of a kli maisa that is hanging around the animal's neck. It's not mishamish an odom, but it's mashmiya kol. So we want to know where the animal is at any given time. So we wrap around this this bell around its neck, and that's how we're going to find out where the animal is located. And it's not a kli that mishtamshim bo befal, and it's chashiv a kli maisa. And it's not like a kli that you use it, but nevertheless, it's considered a kli maisa, it's mekabel tumah. So it's a brand new expand the definition of a kli maisa. We would have thought that this bell around the neck of the animal doesn't serve as a maisa, meaning for any sort of malacha. But nevertheless, the noise then and the function that now I can locate the animal, that's enough to consider it a kli maisa. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani. Shenemar. And where's the alfusa? So again, in the parasha of Milchemes Midyan, it says, "Kol davar asher yovah ba'esh tavir ba'esh v'taher, ach b'mei nido yischata." Any kli that's used over the fire, like a pot that you cook in, or a frying pan that you roast in, it needs hagola. In other words, you have to use the fire to heat up water and then make sure that it's maflit, whatever blia of machol sasurus is inside the kli. And in addition, the Torah says, "Ach b'mei nida yischata," that you have to be metired from its tumah. And from the fact that it uses the word davar, which is an extra word in the pasuk, could have just said kol asher yovavesh, what's called davar asher yovavesh. We're going to dash an afilu lidibur b'mashva, that when we speak about kli asiya, kli maisa, even for the sake of dibur, in other words, even if it just makes a noise, that's enough to be considered a kli, and it's susceptible to kabbalah's tumah. And kvalim would be makabel tumah because it's mashmiya kol. Now, there is a little bit of a difference over here because, you know, when the animal moves with this bell around its neck, there's an actual movement, an action that brings out the kol. So the Gemara says the following. Bishlei Mahasam, I understand in the case of the bell why it's Mekabel Tumah Dekabole Lekola. A person needs that kol in order to know the exact location of his behemoth. Uka Avid Maisa. And the fact that the kli serves a purpose for a man, that itself makes it into a kli maisa. Hacha, my maisa ka'avid. What do we gain by this noise that's coming out of a woman when she walks and the chains, you know, moves about and makes noise? What do we get that? It's really a beerus. It's just holding up her stocking. So my answer is Hachanami Ka'avid Maisa. Here too, we gain something. It's Mishamish HaSa'odam because of this so-called Shalshelis that we spoke about. This chain. Tiyomar Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Omar Rabbi Yochana Mishpacha Achas Hoysi Yushalim Shayu Psiyoseyan Gassos. There was a family in Yerushalayim, and the girls of that family would take these long steps, long strides. And as a result, Hoyu Besuloseyam Noshos. I mean, these are young girls, relatively, and yet their membranes there would break. Their hymen. Also Lehem Kvolet. So they made these birios for them, you know, to hold up their stockings. V'itilu shalshalos b'neim, and they put a chain between them. Shelo yipsuseim gasos. And as a result, they couldn't take long strides, broad strides. V'lo yipsuloseim noshos. And as a result, this phenomenon that we described before would no longer happen. So what they call the hymen, that membrane over there, did not fall out. And in the case of garters, of birios, that serves only the stockings. That would not be mekabel tuma. The chain, however, serves the woman herself. She gains from this because as a result, the besulosem were not falling out. So the kvolim, therefore, mekabel tuma. Now, in addition, she's not allowed to go out into Rishus HaRabim wearing these kvolim, because this chain, Rashi says, is made of gold, and it's expensive, and it's ornate, and she may take it off to show a friend. That won't cause her stockings to fall. You know, she still has the garters in place. They're holding up her stockings. So that's what we have over here. And he writes, "Umasha kavolim mekablim tuma mishum kli tashmish, v'lo mishum tachshit." And he says, "Afsha birios shebekvolim mekablos tuma kevin sheheim tfelos lishalsheles." I'm not sure exactly. He quotes his name, the Ritva. Why? The Ritva has to add this point. In any way, getting back to the beginning of Asugya, Ravin and Rav Huna were going back and forth about what Kvolim means, and Rabbi Yirmiyahu the Rebbe was resting. He was dozing off, we would say. Now, Rav Huna's final conclusion was that Kvolim is when they put the shalshelis between the two garters, between the birios. And now Rabbi Yirmiyahu wakes up. Itar Bahu Rabbi Yirmiyahu. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu wakes up. Omalahu, he says to them, Yishar. And that seems to indicate that he gave a Yashar Koach to Rav Huna, and he agreed with Rav Huna. V'chein Omer Rabbi Yochanan. And he adds the fact that Rabbi Yochanan also had said the following, the same exact interpretation of Kvolim. Ki Osir Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, he also presented a Shmua in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Minayin La'orig Kol Shehu Shehu Tomei. How do we know that if you have a cloth that is very small and yet it's mekabel tumah, mitzitz? We have the case of the tzitz that was worn by the Kohen Gadol. It's a very small piece, and nevertheless, it was included in the pasuk amongst the big day Kohen Gadol. And we see from this that it's got a chashivas to it, a great chashivas, and it's like a beged, and it's mekabel tuma. So the Gemara now is using tzitz as a paradigm to teach us that orig kol shehu is mekabel tuma. So Rav Dimi, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, tells us that just as the tzitz, which is a small size, it's two etzbos, the Gemara is going to tell us, and yet it's considered significant to be considered one of the big day kahuna, so too with regard to the laws of tumah, a woven cloth, even of small size, is considered significant enough, and therefore it's makabel tumah. Omalei Abaye. So Abaye turns to Rav Dimi and he says, "Vetzitz orighu." Are you comparing the tzitz to other begodim and telling me that they're tmei and bekol shuvatanya? We learned in the brayso, tzitz kimin tas shel zahav verochav shtei etzbos. So tzitz itself is a kind of a gold flat surface, a plate, and it's made of the size of two. It's supposed two finger breaths. Umukaf me ozen li ozen. And it's encircled from ear to ear. He doesn't tell you exactly what, you know, what keeps it hanging. I'm not sure from what keeps it from falling. Anyway, Kosev Olav, it says on the tzitz, engraved on the tzitz, which is a gold plate, is Kodesh Lashem. And this is Chakika, as it says in the Pasuk, Vasisa Tzitz Zahav Tahar, Upitachto Lov Pisuchei Chosam Kodesh Lashem, and Bishtei Shitim on two Shuros. Bishtei Shitim, so the two lines, Yud Hei is on one line, and he writes here, Hashem Bishle Muso Yudhe Vavke Hayakasu Bishur El Yona. So even though in our Gemara it only says Yudhe, but it means Yudhe Vavke, and he based himself on Rashi and the Meiri, V'Kodesh Lamid Lamata. So on the second line, it says, on the tas, on the tzitz, it says Kodesh, and then a lamet, with a little strickle afterwards. And they wrote it in that way, so that he writes, Shalolahaktim shar osios lamala min Hashem. In other words, since it's written on two lines, is therefore is Eino Nochel Lichtov Klum Me'al L'Shem. In other words, if they would have written Kodesh L'Hashem with Hashem's name, instead of using a Lamed to replace it, it would have had something above Hashem's name. Yom Rab Lozer Rab Yossi Ani Ra'isi Es HaTzitz Be'ir Romi. He testifies they actually saw the tzitz. And the Gemara Me'ilah says that it was given to him by the Kesar, or the, I should say, Rishus was given to him by the Kesar to go into the treasuries of the king. And he saw their clay migdash that had been taken after the time of Churban. So he writes, Kevan Shakol Beshura Achas, because it says that Rabbi Eliezer testified about the tzitz that he saw in Rome, that it was written Kodesh Lashem Beshita Achas, and therefore there's no chash if one teva, sheyesh teva acheres kodem Lashem. In any event, it's clear from this brisa that the tzitz is not an orig, it's not a cloth, it's a tas. It's a flat plate of made of gold. Therefore, we cannot derive any conclusions from the tzitz to the orig about Kabbalah's tumah, that the orig could be makabel tumah b'kol shehu. Because it's possible to reject that analogy by saying that dafkin and tachshit shel zov, which is chashiv, it has a certain chashivus, then it's makabel tumah with a kol shehu, but a beged katan doesn't have that chashivus, and it wouldn't be makabel tumah b'kol shehu. Now Rav Dimi because he was impressed by this kasha of Abaye, he retracts his original statement. Ki Solik, when he went to Narda, when Rav Dimi went to Narda, v'sholach lehu dvarim shamarti lachem tos, he sent back a message that what I had told you before was a mistake. And in truth, kach omru mishum Rabbi Yochanan, minayin letachshi kolshu shehu tamei. How do we know that the status of something that's made out of metal and it serves as an ornament, even if it's a kolshu, it's tamei mitzitz? That's what we can learn from tzitz. We cannot derive from tzitz about an orig, but we can derive about a tachshit shel mateches. Then, if you want to know minayin le'orig kol shehu shu tameh, how do we know a small cloth can be makabel tum of shrotzim? Because in the parash of shrotzim it says o beged, and the extra word o is a ribui to teach me that even an orig of kol shehu is makabel tum. So, according to the final conclusion of Dimi, Rabbi Yochanan said two things. Number one, legabi tachshit. And he said the tachshit kol shehu makabel tumi derives from tzitz. And number two, with regard to a beged, that a beged kol shehu is derived from o beged in the parasha of tumas shrotzim. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa, orig kol shehu tamei v'tachshit kol shehu tamei, orig v'tachshit kol shehu. What if you have something that's half of an orig and half it's made from mateches and it could be an ornament? And kulo eino el davar katan, and even after you add these two elements, it's still very small, tamei. How do you know you can combine the two elements together, the orig element and the tachshit element? And the answer is, musaf sak al habeged shetamei mishum orig. That we have an interesting Tosefis here to this din, and that's the case of a sock on top of Beged, Shetome Mishum Orik. So we have a sock which is a sackcloth that's made of goat's hair, and Musaf means it's even more susceptible to Kabbalah's Tumah than a Beged, a garment, a cloth made of ordinary fibers, whether it's wool or linen. And how is it more susceptible, the sackcloth? A sackcloth is susceptible to tumah as a woven article, which means tameh mishum orig. What is this, additional status of a sack that goes beyond that of a beged? The Gemara is going to explain as we go along. Amar Rava Orig Kol Shehu Tame Me'o Beged Tachshit Kol Shehu Tame Mitzitz Orig V'Tachshit Kol Shehu. So if you have something that's a combination of both Orig and Tachshit, it's Tomei. How do you know that? And then we go back to the parasha of Milchemes Midjan at the end of Bamidbar. It says, "Va'yikach Moshe ve'Elazar haKohenas haZov me'itom kol klei ma'isa." And there's an extra word, kol, and it's coming to be marbe, even the case of an orig and a tachshit, which is kol shehu. So that even though each one separately is really not functional, neither part is functional on its own, and therefore none of the two categories that we mentioned, either an orig or a tachshit, would, in this particular case, justify the Kabbalah's Tumah, when he has half and half an orig and a tachshit. But we have this special ribui of kol, and that's going to teach me this combination of orig and tachshit, kol shu. And since it says in that parasha, it says, tischato ve'atem u'shvichem, and it means that we should be mitayar that which is shavu, that which they took as shevi, and it teaches us that it needs tara because of tumas mes. Amalahu hahu rabbanon lirava. So one of the chachamim turns to Rav and he says, hahu b'midyan ksiv. this pasuk is in the context of Melchemes Midjan as far as Tumas Mes. And for sure, we could derive from this that if you have a combination of an Orig and a Tachshit Kolshu, it's Mekabel Tumas Mes. And that's a very strict and rigorous Tuma. We call it a Tuma Chamura. It generates a Tuma of 7 days. Plus, you need Azah. So we cannot derive any conclusions from Tumas Mes, which is Chamura, to, for example, Tuma Sheretz, which is relatively a Tuma Kala, that's only a Tuma of 1 day. So therefore, this Rabbanon, this one of the Chachomes, Rava, how do we make that jump? It doesn't seem to be a fair derivation, or a fair, let's call it, I think derivation or analogy, that's a good word. Amalei, and here we're going to turn to Daf Samach Dalet Amud Aleph B'Siyata D'Shmaya. Amalei Gomar Kli Mehasam. We need Gzeirah Shava. In the case of Sheretz, it says Kol Kli Asher Yosa Melacha Bohem. And in the case of Kli Midian, it says Kol Kli Maisa. Just like the Kli in the parasha of Sheretz for Kabbalah's Tumas Sheretz is, so too a Kli in the parasha of Midjan, as far as that's concerned, is also Mekabel Tumas Sheretz. So the Kli here is Kolel, each of these two elements, Orig and Tachshit. So let's just summarize this last piece here about the Gzeirah Shavah of Kli on the top of Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. With regard to Tumas Sheretz, the Torah says, Kol Kli Asher Ye'ase Melacha Bohem. And that's a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph. And the word Kli, in this context, connects to the word Kli in the context of Parshas Milchemes Midjan, to create a Gzeirah Shavah. So we're going to learn that the law that we derive from Melchemes Midjan should apply also to the law of Tumah of Sheretz because of the Gzeirah Shavah Kli Kli. Now, in the case of a Kli that's part woven and part metal, meaning it's part ornament, as we said before, it's a part tachshit. So we learn from this Gzeirah Shavah. I'm sorry. First, let's say without the Gzeirah Shavah. The Pasuk says, as far as Sheretz is concerned, it says, Kol Kli Asher Yosa Melacha Bahem. And that description only applies to Kalim in which work is done. No, his work is done to something else. That would exclude a tachshit. It means, through this Gzeirah Shavah, we're going to say the following. Whatever Kli in the parasha of Sheretz, that's Mekabel Tumas Sheretz, that same identical Kli in the parasha of Midjan is also Mekabel Kli Sheretz. And that Kli, which is defined, And it goes both ways. So we have the Kli, which is Orig, and the Kli with his Tachshit. And in both cases, we're going to put it into the parasha of Kabbalah's Tumas Sheretz. So it means we had a ribui in the parasha of Melchemes Midjan for this case of Orig v'Tachshit Kolshu, which means that we derive from the extra word kol in Kol Kli Maisa in the parasha Milchemes Midjan, that even this case of Orig V'Tachshit is Mekabel Tumah. But we had an objection because that pasuk is only referring to Tumas Mes. How do we know Tumas Sheretz? And the answer is, since we have a Gzeirah Shavah in the parasha Milchemes Midjan, it says kol, and it says also Kli. And also in the parasha of Tuma Sheretz, it says Kol Kli. So we equate the two, and we take the ribui that we found in the parasha of Melcheves Midjan, and we put it into the parasha of Tuma Sheretz. So whatever applies to Tumas Mess now, by virtue of this Gzer Shav, applies to Tuma Sheretz. So this takes us up to Musaf Sak Al HaBeged, which is the top line here on Samach Dalet, and that will cover Mirz Hashem in tomorrow's Shia.